Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Men, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today we're continuing our Prayer and the Sufficiency of Christ series. Today, this is episode 9, and our episode today is titled Watch and Pray. And today we're going to look at Matthew 26:41, which says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And now Jesus asked Peter, James, and John to keep watch with me while he prayed. And sadly, when he returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping. "Could you men," he says, "not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter in Matthew 26:40. And later he asked them to watch and pray. And they fell asleep again in Matthew 26:41 and 43. And there was plenty to pray about. Jesus told them in Matthew 26:31, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me." And they had promised in Matthew 26:35 to be faithful unto death. Did they think that their promise would be enough? But they let themselves succumb to drowsiness and to left Jesus to face his trial alone. They neither watched nor prayed, but fell asleep. You see, there are many ways to fall into sleep. The root is pure malice. This is rare, for almost all sin seeks some personal gain, and yet a few people are drawn to evil for its own sake. It satisfies them to hurt people, even if they gain nothing from it. Curiosity leads some people to hear a prohibition and think, "Why not? What am I missing?" We also see sin as a matter of a habit or a lifestyle. Laziness and gossip can be habit-forming. Hebrews 10:25 mentions believers who make it a habit to forsake their gatherings, that is, the regular attendance in the Lord's gathered worship week after week. Some people fall into sin under the influence of expediency. They know where they want to go and will take any road to get there. The end justifies the means. For example, interviewers will delete the context of a remark and make it more controversial, hence more marketable. And the disciples, however, fell into sin for other reasons. At least four of them are illustrated in our passage. First is overconfidence. When Jesus told the disciples they would all scatter, Peter denied that he would fall away. He swore that he would never disown Jesus, Matthew 26:35 says. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same thing, but they were all wrong. You see, eagerness and overzealousness and weakness live side by side. That's why we should say, "If the Lord wills." You know, we need His help. We need the help of God. We should not be overconfident. We should not overestimate our ability to stand. It's only by the grace of God that we stand. And this is why Peter in 1 Peter 5:6 says that we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that at the right time He may exalt us. And then he says in verse 7 something that's really, really important in the context of humility, that we're to cast our anxieties on the Lord because He cares for us. And this is because we need the help of the Lord. And the Lord is utterly sufficient to help us. The next reason is following the crowd. Earlier that night, Jesus told the disciples that one of them would betray Him. And when they heard this, each was humble enough to say, "Surely not I, Lord," in Matthew 26:21-22. And a couple of hours later, when Jesus said they would all fall away, Peter insisted he would not. And they all followed, insisting they would never fail him in Matthew 26:35. They were each following each other instead of examining themselves. The next reason is ignorance. The disciples failed Jesus in part because they were oblivious. Jesus asked his friends to keep watch with me for 1 hour. And he also said the hour is near, but the disciples did not take it in. They simply had to sleep in Matthew 26, 40 and 45. And there are other ways to sin due to ignorance. Some people simply do not know the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. They do not know that living together outside of marriage is wrong or that gambling culture is destructive. They have not heard or at least have never listened to the standards of God as described in the Word of God. The next reason is weakness. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 26, 41, to watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And after Jesus prayed a while, Matthew says in Matthew 26, 43, when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. And we see that noble desires are spoiled by physical weakness. Vince Lombardi said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. There were many reasons why the disciples failed. Fatigue was one of them. Whatever challenges were faced, exhaustion makes them worse. It's one reason we often cannot do the good that we want to do. There are times when we should not sleep, however tired we feel. And when Jesus found his disciples sleeping one more time, he chided them. The translation is difficult because one word, lopion, still or from now on, and the punctuation in that passage are uncertain. There are two ways to read Matthew 26, 45. Sleep on now and take your rest, as in the King James Version, or are you sleeping on and resting in the NIV and the NASB? Either way, the tone is mildly ironic. Jesus challenges his disciples, and yet he's tender. He knows they are overwhelmed, and he forgives them. It is now too late to find strength in prayer, so they might as well sleep a little more until the moment of rest. Jesus says this, Matthew 26, 45 and 46. Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Now, Matthew 26 contains several practical guidance on prayer. First is the comfort to know that Jesus faced hard tests just as we do. In fact, Hebrews 4, 14 through 15 says Jesus is able to sympathize with us in our weakness because he has been tempted in every way just as we are and yet without sin. And yet, if Jesus faced the test three times over, it reminds us that testing is part of the human condition. We are liable to it. The old spiritual quote says, nobody knows the troubles I have seen. Nobody knows like Jesus. Jesus faced false accusation. He faced betrayal. He faced misunderstanding. He faced physical violence. He faced it alone. He prayed and did not get what he sought. He heard only the hard answer of events. Hebrews says, Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered in Hebrews 5:8. And so can we if we follow him and learn from the way in which he faced temptation. Second, we endure temptation as he did by prayer. This is not a new thought, but we can meditate on it. He prays humbly and repeatedly, face on the ground, seeking the Father's will. And in the test, he seeks the Father's perspective. When tempted, we do the opposite. We turn inward to our own wisdom. We trust ourselves. If someone offends us or irritates us, what do? We rehearse the offense over and over again, or we gossip about it, or even plot revenge. If we pray, we might see the situation the way of God. The offense is not quite so dreadful then. God loves and feels pity for our foe. Perhaps we should too. In fact, Jesus says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why we fail. So what can we do? And as a lesser point, we can care for our physical flesh, our sleep, our nutrition, our exercise, so that it serves us well. But the term flesh has another sense of Scripture. Our flesh is our sinful nature, our aversion to the things of God. And so when we pray, we call on God's Spirit to strengthen our spirit, burdened as it is by sin. And surely this will help us to resist temptation. And third, in the test, Jesus sought help from his friends, if only for their company. We often falter because we fail to enlist help. We fail to ask others for help. That's pride. But even if our burden is ours, even if no one can help us perform a task, they can at least befriend us and pray for us. When Elijah fled from Jezebel, he compounded his mistake by dismissing his servant in Beersheba. A day later, he's lamenting in 1 Kings 19, 3 through 4 and 10, I am left alone, but if he had at least kept his servant, at least he would not have been alone. And fourth, we need to consider attention. The disciples said they would rather die than abandon Jesus. And hours later, they abandon Jesus to save their skin. Peter says he will never fall away. Mere hours later, he falls away. Once again, we see the limits of human resolve. How often we fail, how often we resemble Peter. We resolve to control our impulses, to stay calm as we prepare to enter a potentially tense meeting. Easier said than done. An hour later, we're ashamed because our emotions and our impulses once again got the best of us because we rested more in our sufficiency than in God's. And what shall we say? The Lord knows better, knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows that our resolutions cannot finally protect us. There is always a gap between our will and our flesh. What shall we do? Redouble our efforts? Trust our own moralistic tendencies? Trust our own sufficiency? Should we keep on trying? We should keep on trying, but we also need to remember the end of the story. The crucifixion occurs because God knows we cannot keep our resolutions to do good. Every disciple fails, but that does not thwart the work of God. Parents fail. People fail, but God still calls his children to himself. Spouses fail, but the Lord rekindles love and models the forgiveness we need in our families. You see, Jesus empathizes with us in our weakness, but he also overcomes our weakness. Only Jesus resolves and achieves this every time. This is why Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." If we have been tested and failed, if we have been tempted and succumbed, we can find mercy only in Christ. Men, that's where we need to go. That's why we need to watch and pray. We need to spend significant time, more so than we do, in prayer, in resting, in praying the words of Scripture. And we see the consequence of not watching, of not praying, of not staying alert and vigilant to the wiles of the devil. We see it on social media every day. We see people fighting with each other. We see it in our relationships as we butt heads with one another. That's why we need to watch and pray. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be availing ourselves of the means that God has given to help us. This is why we're doing this series. This is why we're talking about prayer, the many ways in which Scripture teaches us to pray. Because too often, as I've said before, it's just about our casting our petitions and our burdens and our cares to the Lord. And yes, yes to those things. But Jesus also teaches us to watch and to pray. And the reason he does that is because we are to be on watch. We are to be on guard. Proverbs 4:23 tells us that we're to guard our hearts with all due diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. As we talked about many times on this show, God has given us the spiritual armor. This is because of who we are in him. He girds us up like a soldier, preparing us for battle. And the battle that we are in is very real. And yet it is against a vanquished foe. See, friends, we need to stand on who we are in Christ. It's time that we stop making excuses. It's time that we stop shifting blame and be men. What real men do is they own up to their failures. They own up to their sins. They don't excuse them. They don't minimize them. We own up to when we fail, we own up to it. We stand up and we say, this is what I did. And we apologize specifically. And this is what confession is. We're admitting to God that we have sinned against him. We have violated his holy and just and perfect law, and that we are in need of the forgiveness that Christ alone can give. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness." But Romans 6:11 also tells us that we are to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. And too often we minimize that and we think that it's okay to just live however we want to live. And so we don't watch and we don't pray and we don't care about the things that matter the most. Instead, we succumb to and think that lesser pleasures are okay to be satisfied by. when Psalm 16:11 very clearly tells us that God has given us pleasures forevermore, and they are all wrapped in Him, and they are all about Him, and they are all defined and described in the Word of God. And so this is why we are to watch and to pray, why we are to stand steadfast, not in our own power like Peter did, and Peter failed. The reason he failed is because he trusted himself. He trusted in his own power. He trusted in his own knowledge, even. How easy pride is at the door, and how easy it is to go down that road if we trust ourselves. That's why we need to be reminded again of 1 Peter 5:6, that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord, and at the due time, God will exalt us. And verse 7 of 1 Peter 5:7 says this: then we are to make our petitions known to the Lord, because the Lord cares for us. Well, I want to encourage you, take time this week, men. Spend some time really thinking about the ways in which you fail to watch, that you fail to pray. And then I want you to also think about the many ways in which, as we talked about, that Jesus helps you in this. And we see that. We see his help even in this. He goes back to them. He is aiming to remind them, you're not watching. You're not praying. We see the Lord's care here, his help. He comes back to them. He gives them the instruction. Let's see, this is instruction that we need, because we're living in a day in which too many men are falling by the wayside because they're not watching and they're not praying. So men, watch and pray. Stand on the grace that you have received and upon which you have believed in the person and the work of Christ alone. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's good news. If you repent and confess your need of Christ, He is ready and willing to forgive you and to cleanse you, to purify you, to help you, to pick you up. Because He is your advocate. He is your mediator. He is your high priest. He sympathizes, as we talked about, in the midst of our weakness. And yet, we need to admit that we are weak. And Christ is strong. That's why Paul in 2 Corinthians says that the grace of God is sufficient. It's sufficient. It's sufficient in our weakness. We don't understand this. As men, we think that we are the ones who have to be strong. But in order to be strong men, we must be strong in the sufficiency of Christ, not in our own sufficiency. We must walk in His power and in His strength, not in our own fleshly strength, but in the strength that God gives us as we read and as we study, as we meditate, as we apply the Word to our lives, as we sit under the preaching of His Word, as we ask Him for His help, as we reach out and say to another man, I need your help. I need you to pray for me. I need you to check up on me. I need some accountability. And this way we're watching, we're praying, we're doing what Galatians 6:1 says, to bear each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Men, we need this. I need this. You need this. We all need this. And we need it because at all times and in all ways, we have a need of Christ. And in this way, it even shows, we can say that even our asking for help reveals our need of God's grace. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Well, I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Warriors of Grace podcast. Until next week, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.